So the we've been I have the wrong Sethna, believe it or not.
And Leon is a
beautiful. Anybody, if you have, do you have an extra one? That's better by then. Or somebody will share. Okay. I mean, I'm usually pretty flexible, but I don't see how Rosh Hashanah Yom Sukkah is going to do it. Anyways. Okay. So we've been discussing the problem of Ones B'Tanai. So basically, to make it very simple, the Gemara here in Beis Amid Beis and Gimel Amid Aleph, right, discusses the situation where a person made a condition that he'll give a get if he doesn't show up in 30 days. If I don't show up in 30 days, let the get be chal immediately, something of that sort. And or the Gemara Nedarim, which we have here in our sheets, number one, the first on page one. Right, Talmud Bavli and Darim Chav Zayin Amud Aleph and Amud Beis, a similar case where you have either Nidre Onsin. Nidre Onsin means he makes a neder, but he didn't think at the time that there could be mitigating circumstances or extenuating circumstances, an ones. And the question is, if he, if the implementation of the condition is affected by the ones. Does that count or not? And this is really a very fundamental question about a lot of things. It's a question about tanaim, conditions, and contracts. It's also a question about how we look at a maisa ba'ones, an action that takes place under duress. Is that considered to be a formal, legal, halachic action or not? And there's a third component, and this is what we were discussing towards the end of last time, and that is something about the nature of tanaim, of conditions, as well. So just to highlight again these three points, let's zero in on the case of Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. So again, just to remind everybody, the case in our Gemara, Basin Basin, Gimel Amud Aleph, which we've been discussing, is a case where the guy says, Im lo basi, right, if I don't show up after 30 days, then harei zeh get. And the question is, if he doesn't show up, but the reason he doesn't show up is because of an ones, so that's a case of lo ba machmas ones. And the question, oh, thank you. Okay. Here, so I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Okay, thank you. I'm reuniting you with your favorite Gemara there. So I appreciate it. So when we say im lo basi, and the guy's loba, he doesn't show, if he says, if I'm absent, let this get bichal. His absence is not an act of will, it's an act of, against his will. So the question is, what do you do under those conditions? And that's machlokas in the Gemara. The Gemara seems to say that, in the case of Gittin might be different. That's our next topic, we're going to discuss that soon. Namely, whether we make provisions for Gittin because of Tznuos and Prutzos, and whether or not the provisions aren't more trouble than the benefit. But that aside, the bigger issue, the larger question, is does an ones count if you fulfill an tanai, al yidei ones, is that considered a proper fulfillment of the tanai or not? So what I was trying to explain was that there are two perspectives to bring to bear here. One is what I call the mind-reading perspective, which is that we all acknowledge that the condition was made, and we all acknowledge that technically, informally, that the condition was violated, right? Or the condition was fulfilled, but it was fulfilled against his will, right? But at the end of the day, the question isn't so much to be technical about it and legalistic, right? The question is not to, zero in on the letter of the law, but on what did this person really have in mind? What was his intention? So normally, when it comes to intentions, we say dvarim shebalei beinam dvarim. But there are situations where we say anansadi, and even when we don't call something an anansadi, which is a very strong a presumption, something literally close to edus, right? There are times when we rely on an umdana, and we're confident that we really can accurately penetrate people's intentions. So what you might say is that, here you have a classic situation where you have the legality, the narrow legality of the contract on one hand, and you have the pretty self-evident intent on the other. And the question is, when it comes to this particular area of halachic law, what determines, right, the legality or the more flexible spirit of the law, the intention. That's one way to look at it, and that's certainly the way certain factors in the Gemara imply that, like when the Gemara says, oh well, if he wasn't sick in a hospital, but he died, nichale detipol kame yava. Now, you know, when it comes to a person dying as opposed to being sick in a hospital, certainly ein lecha anus yoser mizeh. There's no greater accident than that. But if you say, but you know what, dying is different, it's actually worse being in the hospital because nichale detipol kameyavam, you're mind reading, you're talking about an ubdin. Or if you say onus deshchiach shiny de havele, what's 1 second, havele lisnuye velo asna iu afsid anafshe, here too, if we're talking about anticipated onsim and non-anticipated onsim, then the law should pretty much be that you know, that we're trying to read minds. I'm sorry, you had a question?
I just thought it was the law nichale. Then I misheard you, because I heard you say the people.
Meaning he doesn't want the
woman
the get to be broken up.
Right.
He wants the get to go through. De lo nichale. What did I say? De nichale?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It
could be I said it, and it's not what I meant. What I mean is that he doesn't. Normally, when we say yesh onus b'tnai and ein lecha onus gadol mimisa, what we mean is that onus is an extenuating circumstance, and therefore, if he said let there be a get, we, based on onus, are going to say there should not be a get. What I meant was the nichale, not nichale shetipul kamiyavam, but nichale that there should be a get,
right,
even though it's an onus, because lo nichale de tipul kamiyavam. So that, I thank you for correcting me, but that's what I meant. Okay. And have a great time in Florida. We're really going to miss you. So that's one perspective. That's the perspective that basically says, listen, you have, you know, the lawyers here, and you have, the reasonable people there. I don't mean it literally for the lawyers in the crowd, but you know, we all know what he means, what he wants, but that's different than what the contract says. And what do you do? Now, of course, in that issue itself, is there room to be mechalik, for example, between nidre onsim and tnaim? Yes. Is there reason maybe to be mechalik between a tnai, which is basically articulated but unilateral in its nature, rather than one in which there is a consensual kind of transaction taking place? Maybe. In other words, for example, a difference between gittin and kiddushin. Gittin, he can impose any condition he wants, minat Torah, not midrabanan, but minat Torah. And therefore, what you might say is, you know, as long as we can figure out what he wants, you know, in a reasonable way, we can penetrate his will, that's what counts. But in kiddushin, you might say, you know, there are two people here. And therefore, you have to penetrate two people's will, and therefore, you don't even try. What you say is, you know, when it comes to more than one person, contractual, legal, formal has to prevail. Because it's a nightmare to try to, it's bad enough to try to figure out what one person means. It's much more difficult, you know, to try to figure out what two people, or maybe another way to say it is, whenever you involve two people in a decision, right, the law requires greater independent, self-sufficient, legal clarity. Okay. And that's really what the Ran says. So this comes in by the following case. Our Gemara, as we said, is a case where the guy says, "Im lo basi mi kan ad lamed yom." If I don't show up in 30 days, I raise a get. The Yerushalmi quotes a debate between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. According to most girsos, in a kiddushin case, that's according to all girsos. According to most girsos, also in the opposite direction for another reason. It's a kiddushin case, and instead of saying, "If I don't show up, let there be a get," the equivalent of which would be, "If I don't show up, let there be a kiddushin." Let's say he says, "If I do show up, let there be a kiddushin. If I don't show up, let there not be a kiddushin." Ah, you might say, why is that important? Okay, so the reason that is important is because of the second perspective, which I first want to mention, and then we'll look at the Ran. The second perspective is that intention, right, per se, cannot undermine a contract. That's why we have contracts, right? Because they are, you know, again, if an umdina can work in halacha, but once you've signed a contract, that's already, you know, being very specific. And you didn't say unless there's an onus, which you could have stipulated that. You could have said unless the bridge falls down, right? Maybe it's very, very rare, remote, right? Not subject to normal anticipation, but you could have. So let's say that we are going to stand on ceremony. I don't mean it literally. You know, maybe there's good reason to make everything as clear and decisive. We don't want to start reading minds.
What's the contract in Kedushin?
Oh, one second. So then the question is, how can the Gemara discuss whether Yesh Onus B'Tanai? Right? We should say there's never an Onus B'Tanai. The answer is there might be a reason still to say Yesh Onus B'Tanai. Why? Because maybe a Maisa B'Ones is not a Maisa. An act under duress is legally not called an action. There are certain actions which require, by definition, volition, choice. If you don't have a choice, it's not called your action. So, in the case of Gittin, our Gemara, the Gemara says, Imlo Basi, right, Ad Lamed Yom, if I do not show up in 30 days, I raise a get. So now the question is, absence that is under duress, is that called absence? Or maybe the word absence, legally, always connotes absence by choice. Now, that's nothing to do with mind reading. That has to do with a whole different area of halakha called ones keman d'avid or onus keman d'lo avid. And that's what the Gemara was saying in the Darim when originally the Gemara says that Rav Huna, here, let's look at that Gemara very quickly. The Gemara says, Ha'u Gavra, the first Gemara, the atvis achvasa bebedina, a person put his evidence in court, right? The Amar, and he says, Ilo asina, this is on line 3, Ilo asina ad plasin yomim livatlan hanuskusai. If I don't show up in 30 days, I'm, you know, and you're going to say, oh, you're holding up the court, right? No, I have to do something, or I have to get more evidence. If I don't show up in 30 days, I give you permission, I waive my case. Okay? Rip up my evidence. So the Gemara says, what happens if isnis velasa? He didn't mean that. He meant if I don't show up, and I could show up, then I waive my rights. He didn't mean if I get sick or if the bridge falls down. But that's what happened. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna batal zakmase. We don't care what he meant, we care what he said. The law is the law. End of story. So then the Gemara says, Amalei Rava onesu v'ones rachmona patre de'sivu l'naro l'sasa davar. Ones rachmona patre? What does that have to do with what we're talking about? And if you want to say that what we're talking about is, oh, he didn't mean it, you don't have to quote a l'naro l'sasa davar to say he didn't mean it. Right? Whether or not you get an onesh for an act that you did, but ones, right, should not determine whether or not you meant extenuating circumstances when you didn't articulate them. Those seemingly are, I wouldn't say totally different questions, but on the surface at least are different questions. What is a legal formal question about onshim, or maybe even how do we define maisa averas? The other is a question about mind reading, about, you know, intention and will. So when the Gemara quotes al naro l'sasa davar and ones rachmana patre, it sounds what the Gemara is saying is that imlo ba ones lo shma imlo ba, and maybe that's what the next line means. That's a machlokas. How to read the next line? The chitema katola shiny. What is the Gemara saying? What the Gemara is saying is when you're talking about onshim, you can quote to me ones rachmana patre and tell me it's not a formal action, or maybe it is a formal action, but you don't get punished unless you do something willingly. You don't get punished for the action per se. You get punished for the formal action, or maybe you only get punished even when you did the formal action when you did it intentionally. Right? But if you did it against your will, you don't get a punishment. But what does that have to do with telling the Beis Din to rip up your file, you know, if you don't show up in 30 days, and that's showing up? But since Rashi and our Gemara and Dav Gimel Amid Aleph, right, Dibra Maschil, Dimidaraisa Lo Avagita, the third line here, says Shematzinu Tainus Onus Minatora Shenamar L'Naro L'Sasa Davar. It sounds like Rashi is going back to the Gemara and the Darim, and so does the Meiri. So it sounds like Rashi is saying that the Pshat in the Gemara, that the whole discussion of Onus B'Tanai is not the discussion of mind reading versus legalese, but rather within legalese, what is the status of a Maisa B'Onus? But if that's the case, then you should conclude, as the Ritva and the Ra'ah did, on the surface, that there's a difference between saying imlo basi hareza get and saying imbasi hareza get. That's the comment of the next line. The kasav aritva amar rabba linyan gitin enochen klomar ena bal yachal liton tainis onus levat laget shem nosan al tanai b'niskayim atanai alpa bishamach mas onus niskayim harei who get ulafukeim lo niskayim atanai alpa bishamach mas onus lo niskayim ena get the sof lo niskayim atanai. What does the Ritva say? The Ritva says, if you have a case of imlo basi and you're absent because of an ones, we might say that an ones absence is not an absence. But let's say you said, if I show up, if I'm present, let the condition be chal. And you're not present because of an ones. You're absent because of an ones. Will you say that an absent ones is a presence? To say an absent ones is not an absence is reasonable. But to say an absent ones is a presence, that seems to be unreasonable. And therefore, if we have two cases, one is im lo basi hareis aget, and the other is im basi hareis aget, and in both cases he can't come because the bridge fell down, what we might say is that ones is not kiman David, right? But ones is also not, right, as if he did it. Right, an action bonus is not an action, but an inaction bonus is not an action either. That's what the Ritva says. So now when you look at the third piece, which is the Ran, we note that there is this machlokes. Let's say he says, he makes a tanai. Now you ask me, what is the contract? What is the agreement? The agreement is, if I show up to the hall on time, right? If I get to the synagogue on time, let the wedding be chal. Okay? If not, you can keep the money and the wedding is not chal. You don't owe me back the money, and the money is not kesef kiddushin either.
So it's the money.
You can keep it. I forfeit the money. That's the condition. That's what he says. Listen to this. Matzashi shenachu b'Yerushalmi v'pirkan. Ravov shem ardochen and seder simpun kachu. Ano plan bar plan, ani ploni ben ploni. Mekadesh loch ant plonis bras plonis. I am mekadesh you, right? Plonis bas plonis. Leia bas ruving, right? Almanas liten loch mekamis plon. And with the condition, I'm going to give you $100 kesef kiddush. Klomar. Mamon ploni shenikra yakum shema mid adam al raglav. Okay, very nice. The achni seich, and I will marry you. Liyom plan by the following date. So now the thing is, de'ias liyom plan v'lo kinastich. If that day comes and I do not show up, lo yehu li alach klum. I have no tainas on you. The chidush is not chal, and you don't have to give me back the money. And what happened? Ira la ones. He got sick, or the bridge fell down. Right. So Rav Yochanan says, now according to this girsa, what happened? He said, im basi hareza kiddushin. Right? And he didn't come. So he was not Mekayim the Tanai, but because of the onus. That's different in our Gemara, which is he was Mekayim the Tanai because of the onus, right? So Rabbi Yochanan said, Onsa, listen to the language. Onsa keman delo avad. Rabbi Yochanan says, listen, there's no Kiyum HaTanai here. This onus does not make it as if he did it. Right? Lo kiyum ba'ones, lo shma kiyum. Ones is keman de lo avid. Even though he didn't come because of an ones, he still didn't come. That's the way to read, according to this girsa, that's the way to read Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish amar, onsa keman de avid. Wow. Reish Lakish is tamua. Reish Lakish says, even though he says, if I come, there's kiddushin, the kiddushin is chal. Right? Because the only reason he didn't come is because of an ones. Right? Ones is keman da'avid, even though he doesn't, in other words, absence, but ones equals presence to all intents and purposes. So then the Gemara goes on, then the Yerushalmi goes on, says, I'll die to Reish Lakish, heich tzricha lemeved, v'yasa yom ploni v'lo tehevi k'nisali, lo yavi alach klum, Rabbi Yochanan kidemach, when he became ill, pakad labante, v'yavin avdin k'Reish Lakish, he told his daughter, if this happens to you, paskin like Reish Lakish, Kishema Yamud Bez and Achab Yizbar Kavase. Interesting. He said, some Bez is going to paskin. If they do paskin like Reish Lakish, you better be careful. Venimsa banav bayim de mamzerus. Even though I think Rabbi Reish Lakish is wrong, I'm just telling you that as a matter of policy, you don't want to get involved in this whole kind of a thing, because if somebody paskins against me and against and according to Reish Lakish, you better play it safe. Okay, wisdom from Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, so now there are two things we need to address. Number one, how do we understand Reish Lakish? We understand Rabbi Yochanan, right? But how do you understand Reish Lakish? He seemed to have gone too far. He's saying if you don't fulfill a Tanai because of an Ones, it's as if you fulfill the Tanai. Could that be? That's number one. Number two is we're going to see in a moment that, you know, that the Ran thinks that even Rabbi Yochanan is not basically, you know, aligned with our Bavli, or at least we need to add a wrinkle. Okay. Now, if you said to me, let me put it this way. We paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. Okay? Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yochanan, Shulchan Aruch paskins like Rabbi Yochanan. But didn't our Gemara say that Ones B'Tanai really works in principle? I mean, extenuating circumstances are counted. We don't go the legalese way. We say intention matters, or you know, it matters that it was bonus. How come Rabbi Yochanan, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, he seems to be ignoring the Ones? So if you ask me, I would have said, what's the answer? Because of the Ritva and the Ra'ah, like we just said. Because our case is a case of Im lo basi hareza get. The case of the Yerushalmi is Im basi hareza. So just because ones bitul ba'ones lo shma bitul, or I'm sorry, kiyum ba'ones lo shma kiyum, doesn't mean that lack of kiyum ba'ones shma kiyum. That's how I would have answered. If the Ra'ah and the Ritva were here, and we were able to say to them, guys, what do you think about Rabbi Yochanan and the Yerushalmi? How does that work? Doesn't that against our Bavli? Right? I'm pretty sure that the Ra'ah and the Ritva would have said, absolutely not. It's exactly what we were saying. There's a difference between kiyum ba'ones and lack of kiyum ba'ones. Right? But that's, you'll see in a moment, that's not what the Ran says. The Ran asks the question, how do you square it with the Bavli? And he gives a different answer. So listen to this. Umashmali de bahopliki. Reish Lakish medamila lemegaresh umasne im lobasi. So the Ran says, in my opinion, Reish Lakish thinks that the Yerushalmi and the Bavli are like the same, and he compares it to megaresh im lobasi, dechipaske mivrash meimasya. In principle, we say if the bridge fell down, and the guy's screaming and saying, "But I'm here! But I'm here! But I'm here!" we do count it. We say the get is not chal, right? So that's what he's going to say here. Ilab mishim takanto shetkinu shalei onus begitin kedisa b'reish ksuvas. It's not for the other issues. V'hochanami, here too, onsa keman da'avad. Except there's a huge difference between those cases. In other words, we ignore the difference between imbasi and imlobasi. That's what the Ran is saying. How can you do that? We'll explain in 1 second. And what about Rabbi Yochanan? But we pass like Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, savar delo dami. The Hasam Shena Dover Tolu Yela Bo Ena Gomel Garish Shalim Yavrol Tanai Baratzon. So here's the distinction that I mentioned earlier. The Ran says the difference between Rabbi Yochanan and the Yerushalmi and the Bavli is that the Bavli is Gittin and the Yerushalmi is Kiddushin. And in the case of Gittin Minatora, it's unilateral, and therefore what we care about, what we're trying to figure out, is one person. What did he mean? And he didn't mean im overall tanai be'ones. He only meant beratzon. Abel be'ones lo. Abel hachasha isha ena miskadesha salamidaita. She's an equal party in the kedushin. Hare ena miskemes of the kedusha velim kenyakayim atanai. She says, listen, I don't care about what he meant. Let's grant that he meant it. I still have rights. Contractually, this is what he said. Are you going to hold him to the rights of the contract when it's all up to him? In a get, in other words, it's unilateral. It's whatever he wants. This is what he said. So you're going to stand on ceremony to protect who? To protect himself against himself. It's all internal. So let's just figure out what he meant. And we know what he meant. But in the case of Baal and Isha, she has equal rights and she has equal interests. She can say, you know what? I agree, that's what he meant. And who cares? We entered into a contract. We both have equal rights of protection. And I'm standing on the contract. That's what the Ran, that's a very important yisod. That's what the Ran says. הרי איני מסכמת בקידושיו אלא אם כן יקיים תנו. אבל כל שלא נסכם אף על פי שננס אינו מסרצה בקידושיו. ומשמע דקיים אלא קרב יוחנן, ריפסקין לקרב יוחנן, אף אגב דקדדם בגדמך פקד לבנתי דהב ונובי קרש לקש, לא ברכי מצוין לקשלה, he was playing it safe, we passed like him, etc. Okay? Clearly, the Ran doesn't think that the distinction of the Ra'ah and the Ritva is important, or important enough. I mean, the difference between Im Lo Basi and Im Basi. What he thinks instead is important is the difference between Gittin and Kiddushin. You might have said even in Kiddushin you can read minds. You might have said even in Gittin you can't read minds. But that's what the Ran distinguished. Now, what about Rish Lakish? So I think going back to Rish Lakish, the way the Ran understands Rish Lakish, I think what we'll say is Umdana, which I think is what you were hinting at in your, not, it wasn't exactly words, but, you know, from what I picked up in the, you know, the moaning or whatever that was, you know, right? Okay. Meaning what I said, well, how can we understand Rish Lakish? You said, not so bad.
Okay.
Right? Meaning what? It's true that the lack of a kiyum ba'ones does not a kiyum make. But if in the end of the day we're just trying to figure out what he wants and what he doesn't want, in both cases, he doesn't want illness or the bridge falling down to be the impediment to what he, you know, to his fate or to what he wants to accomplish, right? So at the end of the day, we don't need so much kiyum or bitul hatanai. What we need is to figure out what is his true intention. That's what Ran will say. However, I want to take it a step further. Before I do, I just want to first quote the Agos Memunios, and then I'll take a step further. Yeah.
The case of the presumption that we're making in the Gemara is that because she's a party to it, as you said before, you don't want to make the mind with two parties with possibly discordant
right
attitudes. But I don't know, we didn't have the Gemara yet, but we had it last time with the whole Tavla Mesa. Why can't we make a presumption that she always wants to be?
Well, Tavla Mesa means when she gets married to somebody.
Well, that's what's happening here.
Right? No. I'm not aware of any time we ever say Tavla Mesa in anticipating that she will agree to get married, except for Zachin.
Well, she's already agreed. She's just waiting for the fulfillment of a Tanai that he stipulated.
Well, that's an interesting way to look at it. The question is that an accurate way to look at it? So in a way, no, I mean, you're touching on something very important. That's going to be our next point. I think I touched on it a little bit last time. I want to talk more about it. That's the issue of Tanai Mil Sachriti. How do we look at Tanai in general? Do we look at Tanai as something that is an extraneous obstacle, an impediment? Something that's like latched on to, the agreement and the transaction? Or is it something that integrates into as a factor in the very transaction itself? I'll explain what I mean in a minute. But before we get to that, let me just talk about a very interesting phenomenon in the bottom of the page. Look at that Agos Maimonios for a minute. The Rambam before that, the second to last piece first, the Rambam paskins, like the Gemara Nedarim and like our Sugya, that in principle, Yesh Onus B'Tanai. Rambam says, Misha Konami Yado, this is line 27. Shem lo yava b'yom ploni b'yishba yechaver nema b'tanaso. Person says, if I don't show up by a certain time, let the other guy swear in court, and go. You'll take his claim. Now, I forfeit. V'yitol kol ma'ashetan b'lo shua. O shem lo yava b'yom ploni v'yishava v'yitol avad ezechuso. The ein lo klum v'yipater chavero. V'avar yom b'lo ba. And it happens. That's what happens. There's the day the deadline passes and he doesn't show up. Niskaimu hatnai. V'avad ezechuso. There's a fulfillment of the tanai, and he loses his rights. V'im hevi raya shahaya anus bosayom. But if he can prove that there were extenuating circumstances, hareza pata mikinyan zeh, v'yishava kashi etvenu chaveiro, kashaya mikodem, v'chen kol kiyotzim zeh. If he can prove there was an onus, then, right, that is consequential, and he doesn't lose his rights. Okay. So on that, there's an interesting agos mamunios. Look what happened here. The chen kosa b'sefer ha-mitzvos, referring to the smag, right? Shehoru ha-ga'onim, the chen ra'isi b'rishami the kiddushin, Odam hamasne im lo esa lo kach v'kach b'yom ploni, if I don't do X by day ploni, yeh that's the, that this condition, transaction should take place. The irla ones, and an ones takes place. Rabbi Yochanan amar onsa kamanda lo avad, Rish Lakish amar onsa kamanda avid, v'alachi krav Yochanan l'gabi Rish Lakish. What happened in the smag and the hagos mamunios? One thing, seemingly small, according to some Rishonim, maybe it is small, possibly huge. What? When they quote the case of the Yerushalmi, instead of it being im basi hareza get kiddushin, it ended up being im lo basi hareza kiddushin. Okay? So now, that changes everything. Right? It changes everything, especially how you read the charged words of Onus Kaman Ovid and Onus Kaman the law of it. So let's go slowly. What happened now? Not like our reading of the Yerushalmi, our text in the Yerushalmi, and the Ran's text of the Yerushalmi. What happened was, im lo basi, if I don't show up, right, then hareza mekudeshes. If I don't show up to stop the wedding, or to cancel, then the kiddushin should be chal. The kiddushin I'm giving you now should be a delayed kiddushin, and should be chal. Okay? If I do show up, whatever, but it doesn't matter. Okay. In lo basi hareza mekudeshes. And he doesn't show up, meaning there is kiyum atnai bonus, right? So what happened? Your lowness. Rabbi Yochanan says, onsa keman the low avad. What does that mean?
It's not a kiyum.
That kiyum atnai beones lo shma kiyum atnai. So number one, Rabbi Yochanan is perfectly in line with the Bavli, even though one is a case of gittin and the other is a case of kiddushin, right? But it's imlo basi, and the psak of Rabbi Yochanan is perfect. Kiyum atnai beones lo shma kiyum. Why? Remember we discussed a little last week. What is the status of a coerced action? Meaning, do you have to do tshuva for that? Can you do nesias kapayim? You know, what about the mesiras nefesh? And so on and so forth. And that's what the words mean. Onsa kaman delo avid. That's perfect. The words are perfect. Ones is kaman delo avid. It's not a legal action. You did it by ones, but it's not considered an action. Al pidin. Doesn't have a legal status. What does Rish Lakish say? Rish Lakish amar, onsa kaman delo avid. Meaning, oh, it doesn't matter that it's Maisa bonus. It's still a Maisa. Onus is command of it. Right? So that's very interesting. Okay. I think there's another way to understand Reish Lakish. And that goes to what you were talking about tonight a couple of minutes ago. So this is the idea. I just want to develop it a little bit further that we have in a lot of Rishonim. Look on page 3. This is the famous Tosis. We started with this last time, but I want to continue with it a little more. Tosis on Nun Vav Amud Aleph in Ksuvus, or you can look in the Masechta, Ksuvus Nun Vav Amud Aleph. Doesn't make a difference. Tosis there talks about Harei At Mekudeshes, right? Al Menash Ein Lach Alayish Er Ksuvus V'Yoni. He wants to be Mekadesher, but he doesn't want to pay the, he doesn't want to be financially responsible for her. So the Gemara says, that's a Machlokes, at least on the sharing ksus part, maybe according to the Ritva, even on the Ona part, but the sharing ksus part is davar shebamamon, so maybe he can wave that away. But normally it comes under the rubric of masne al masha kosav b'torah hatnai batel v'maisa kayim, meaning, since the tnai that you're trying to make is against the Torah, because the Torah said you have to give her sharing ksus v'ona, right, so the tnai is neutralized, and the maisa is kayim. So Tosa says, asks a very basic question, right? And that is, you know, to say that this is an illegal tanai and you can't impose it, you can't have a kiddushin without a sher ksus viona, is very reasonable. Ein kiddushin lechatzoin, ein ishus lechatzoin. The definition of ishus includes these components. That's already an important idea, but it's a very reasonable idea. I mean, there are certain things that are definitional. You can't wave them away even if both sides agree, because you've cut to the core and you've cut out the core of what defines this. However, to say therefore the kiddushin is chal and you owe her sherek's viona, Right? That doesn't seem fair either. Why not say, therefore, the kedushin is not chal? That you can't make a kedushin without sherksus viona? Fine. But that therefore you have a kedushin with sherksus viona when you both don't want it? That's Tosa's question. Tema. Im ken amai mekudeshes, ari hisna beferush, shem yehei alav sherksus viona shenu mekudeshes. Right, then Tosa tries an answer. Right, move to the Omri on line 5. Omri, Dilav the Alfinu Mitnai Begad Rei Ruvain Havamina Deshum Tnai Ena Mevatalas Hamaisa Bafil Lo Yiskayim Besof Hamaisa Kayim Vashi Alfinu Mehasam De Mahani Tnai Levatal Hamaisa Amrina Dafka Kisheino Masna Machakasa Betora Dumit Begad Rei Ruvain Shlehisno Machakasa Betora. Tosa says an amazing thing. Tosa says the Parsha Begad Rei Ruvain is Chiddush. Without that chiddush, we would have thought that you can never attach conditions to a transaction. Either you have to make the transaction or not. Now, what do they mean by that exactly? I mean, presumably, they're not talking about agreeing about a price. Right? But anything that looks like it's an attached condition, or an extraneous condition, or a fringe benefit, anything that looks like that, right, that isn't just, you know, part of the core transaction. I want to link, you know, this issue with that issue. Anything like that, basically, says Tosis, is a chiddush. If not for Bnei Gad Bnei Ruvain, we would think that no such thing could exist. And therefore, in the Chabalah chidusho. If you do it properly, contractually properly, meaning with mishpatei tznayim and legal tznayim, then fine. But if you don't, you're back to where you were, would have been, had there not been a parsha of Bnei Gad Bnei Ruvain. And if you agree to the transaction, then you're held to the Torah's definition of what that transaction is. Okay, a remarkable thing. Now, look at the Ravid Hilchos Sechiya per Gimel Lachaches. The Ravid suggests to distinguish between Isur and Mamon, or at least Ishus and Mamon. Right? The Rambam quotes here. This is a number 9. Kol Omer Amanas Ka Omer Me'achshav Nami Ein Tzarich Lichbal Tnai. Fine. You can ignore that for the moment. Then he adds, "V'rabosai horu she'ein tzarich lich balatnai lahakdim hein lalav ala begitim v'kedushin bilvad ve'ein ladavar zeh raya." He said there are some gaonim who thought that the requirements of mishpatei tznayim that we say double the, you know, could double it back and forth. That's, if you do this, then that. If not, then not. Right? Or the order hein kodim lalav. All the rules of tznai, right? These rules apply only in only in Gittin and Kedushin, but not in Dine Mamonis. Why? He said, but it's wrong. Okay. What's that?
Doesn't make any sense.
Why?
The original one wasn't. Ah,
okay. So that's one of the questions that the that the Rambam already asks, and that the Ravid addresses. Meaning, Tzaybin Agave Ruven was Mamonis. That's what you're asking. My answer to that, I'm not sure if this is what the Ravid means in the end, but I'll give you my answer, is that Bnei Gad Bnei Ruvain wasn't about money. It was about Nachlas Haaretz. And Nachlas Haaretz is Isurin. It's not Mamon. Just like the Rambam Sheet in general, is that we spoke about this earlier, we talked about making a Tanai in the Ksuvah. You know, the Rambam Sheet about that Yerusha in general, you can't make Tanayim because it's Chukas Mishpat. No one knows where the Rambam got that from, that limud and that conclusion. But what he means is that, you know, family legacy, Yerusha, of course, it expresses itself in dollars and cents, but it's not about dollars and cents. Right? If it was about dollars and cents, you wouldn't have so much ugliness. Right? But it's really about, you know, legacy. Right? It's about people, you know, feeling, you know, their, what's that?
Who's the bahar? Who's the bahar?
Yeah, okay, exactly. I mean, that's kind of what it is. That's what the Rama means. Means it expresses itself with dollars and cents. But it's not about money, it's about emotional, you know, acceptance and respect. And the truth is that Eretz Yisrael, Kalukas Arts, Eretz Yisrael, is, you know, has monetary consequences, of course. You know, but it's really about the Shvatim and about the Nachla of Klal Yisrael. That's a very important Yisrael. I believe that to be, you know, what's really going on here. But okay, anyways, let's go back to it. So the Raavad says, Omer Avram, Afa Bishen Raya Ladavar Zeich Ladavar, the Tam God Lo Yesh Ladavar. The Raavad says, I know a good explanation. Eichi Tachain, the Zem Bocher Karko, no snow Vomer, any no snow Mochro, Elim Kin Yasali Kach Vikach, Vinotzi Osam Yadav Lo Osabo Mashi Hisnalav. Says what? That you're in some financial negotiation. And the guy says, I want to impose this condition or that condition, you know, this benefit, that benefit. And you're going to force a transaction on him because under certain conditions he would accept it, and therefore the bare bones, you know, transaction goes through and the details don't matter anymore. He's not interested. Right? So why should you need mishpatei tanaim? Can't be, right? But then, of course, the question is, well, okay, fine. And what's the difference between that and Isurim or Ishus? Ah. Alogit in the Kiddushin, says the Ravid, Om dan daitahu, mikimin shenosan data legarish alakadesh, eno alakimaf legbedvarim. Says, when it comes to Gitin the Kiddushin, I would say this is a very idealistic Ravid. I like it very much. It's not true for all people, unfortunately, but he says, listen, he found the right person to marry. And he's quibbling over a couple of $100 or a dirah or you know, whatever it is. Meaning he's trying to leverage what he considers to be, you know, a beneficial, you know, bargaining position. But really, that's not why he's getting married. He's not only getting married if he can get these fringe benefits. He's getting married because he thinks that this is the right person or divorce, you know, in the tragic other direction. Right, he's going to get divorced for a few $100. He's going to get divorced for, you know, some trivial, you know, leverage that he can, yes or no, that's going to dictate whether he gets divorced. It's an existential question, right? So there, it's always kemaflig bedvarim. He's using his leverage and the other party's concern about that leverage. But it's really dishonest. Or maybe dishonest isn't the right thing. Meaning it doesn't reflect accurately on the Das L'Garish or the Das L'Kadesh. Whereas in Dine Maminis, the devil's in the details. Maybe it's only worth it for him to buy this karka if he can also get a, you know, a 2% you know, in on some other partnership you know, that seems quite extraneous to it.
It's a very idealistic
what?
Idealistic view of marriage.
Yeah,
often was a dollars and cents issue.
Well, I don't know about that, but I think it is very idealistic. I say I like it very much. The Kira Vadas, listen to the language of the Ravid. The language of the Ravid is this beautiful language. The Kira Vadas for Richa Kadas, Einatnal Moab Larachik Olakarev Elim Ken Chizko Bekvelo. He's saying if it isn't part of the core Das Makne or Das Ligares or Das Mekadesh. This is the part where I'm risking it. I think I have an advantageous position. So in Okanami, I'm playing a little bit of Russian roulette or whatever it is.
He's strategizing.
Okay, he's leveraging his position, you know, to get... Now, there's a certain risk in it because it can all blow up in his face, right? But in the end of the day, you know, he's taking that... But it's Kiruv and Richa Kadas. It's not part of the integrated Das on the transaction. He wants to get married, he wants to get divorced. That's the end of the story. Okay. He also thinks that the other person, you know, is not going to call his bluff. So he can capitalize and get more out of it. But in Dine Maminis, that's not what we call that. Now, if you ask me, on Dine Maminis, can that also be? I mean, really, he wants this karka. In his heart of hearts, he knows that it's worth it for him to get this karka. He'll lose it in one out of every five cases. It's worth it for him to lose it, even though he wants it, because in four to five cases, you know, not only is he going to get it, he's going to get these fringe things. But they're fringe. Isn't that still fringe, though? That's not really devil in the details of the core das. I mean, you could argue with the Ravid on both levels. You might even say that structurally, maybe it always depends, and maybe it does, on how something is formulated and how we really see the interrelationship. I think there's a lot of evidence that we do fine-tune our analysis. But what the Ravid is highlighting and what Tosis is talking about are the same idea. It's what the Achronim call Tnai Milsachriti, where the Tnai, or the attached stipulations, are more extraneous. They're more about, as I say, capitalizing on a stronger position, seeing who's going to blink first. They're about negotiation and an advantage, more so than they are about really the core agreement or interest or das to enter into this transaction. It's a fascinating idea. All these mishpatei tanaim strengthen the tanai. Ubin tavin. Then he says, "V'nachlas bnei Gad bnei Reuven." Well, that's your question, right? Lo ha'isa muksekat biad Yisrael. V'ene dom lekarka muksek uladam yirushaso o mimikcha. Now, what he means by that could be various things. I think he's not saying exactly what I'm saying, but it's on that wavelength, namely, the fact that Eretz Yisrael's muksekas mina avos already shows you this isn't the real strength transaction, right? This is about the, you know, about the structure of Klal Yisrael and its legacy. Okay. Look at the Tshuvas HaRosh. The next piece. Now, the next two pieces are Tshuvas HaRoshes. They're very long. It's good to look at them when you get a chance. I'm just going to read a couple of lines. They're very interesting pieces, all of it, but She'ela, Misha Yedaita Leilech Medina Sayam, person's going overseas, the Kiddush Isha Al Tanai, and he's a Mekadosh and Isha on condition. Im basi mikan ad yud beis chodesh. Right? If I show up in 12 months, tiyam mekudeshes, me'achshav. The kodim shalach nisratzo ish v'isha laharech zman atanai. They made up this agreement. And then they had second thoughts. They both agreed they should extend the period from a year to 2 years. To 18 months, whatever. The question is, but he gave her the kedushin already. But he gave her the kedushin, me'achshav. It's going to be chalam afreya, depending on whether the condition is met. Then after that Maisa, which will be the Maisa Kedushin if the condition is met, they decided both either to drop the Tanai or to change the Tanai. Can you do that? Or not? So it's a little background. So the Rajba in the Kedusha Rajba in Ksuva stuff, Ayin Gimel, and Ayin Dalid, we talked about this earlier in the year. The Sugin Ksuvis, Ayin Gimel Ayin Dalid, talks about the following case. Yesh Tanai Ben Nisuin or Ein Tanai Ben Nisuin. What that means is, the husband and wife, or the husband, whatever it is, they made an agreement about the Eirusin. And then they went ahead without fulfilling the Tanai. They didn't mevatel the Tanai, but the Tanai is still in abeyance. And then they go ahead to stage two, to the Chuppah, to the Nisuin. So the Gemara says, maybe Achule Achle the Tanai. They're so happy, there's such a wedded bliss. Maybe that implicitly they drop the Tanai. So it seems like the Gemara thinks that when you make a condition, even an Ishus, that you can drop the Tanai. Now, if you insist on the Tanai, you know, either party, then you have to implement it. But if they both agree to drop it, to waive the Tanai, it sounds like you can do that. Can you do that?
Why not?
Ah, so the question is, because if it's part of the core transaction, right? You can't change that without changing the core transaction.
But both parties agree.
Right. So this is the question. So if you take, what's our issue right now? If you say that Tanai and Mishpatei Tanaim and all of that is a factor that defines and integrates into the das on the transaction itself, right? Then you have to go back to square one. You can't tamper with the details because the condition was made and you redefined this institution. If, on the other hand, you see it, Tanai is something milsachriti, that's extraneous, known as the core transaction, and then there are the additional agreements or stipulations that are attached to it. I'm saying it that way very, you know, intentionally, attached to it, meaning they're not part of the core agreement, so then you should be able to just cut them away. What do you care? Like you just said, right? That's exactly what the Rosh is going to end up saying. The Rajba, however, didn't like it. He was upset. He was, you know, concerned about this. So the Rajba says, you know what? The Gemara seems to say you can drop a Tanai. Achuli achul a Tanai. So the Rajba says, you know why? That's because it's ki'ilu iskabalti. If it's a monetary or something to do with physical pleasure or something like that, you could say, you know what? I imputed as if I received it.
Is this Tanai Bikshat? What's about you?
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because there's no denying it. I mean, it's either it's Balpeh or Biksav, it doesn't matter. There's no denying it. So the point is, the Rashba says in Ksuvis, Kilu Iskabalti. So the Rush here, I think he's responding to that Rashba or something like it. So some people think that the only reason you can drop it is Kilu Iskabalti, and then maybe they're likely to think that maybe there's a difference between Gittin or Kiddushin, because maybe again a unilateral transaction is different than a, maybe you could say, you know, Kilu Iskabalti, but maybe not one that has two parties. But the Rush himself says, in my opinion, you could just, if they both agree, you could just drop the Tanai. You know why? Because it's Milsachriti. You know why? Because as the Gemara says, Dibur is not Mevatel Maisa, but Dibur is Mevatel Dibur. Ooh, that's interesting. Is dropping a Tanai considered Dibur Mevatel Dibur or Dibur Mevatel Maisa? That's tricky. The answer is, if the Tanai integrates into the Maisa Kedushin, the Maisa Gerushin, the Maisa Kinyan on the Sadeh, then that's called Das or Haskama Levatel Maisa. But if it always remains on the surface and remains extraneous, it remains an attached stipulation, but nothing more, then it really is Dibur Mevatel Dibur. So look at the Rush just for a couple of minutes. Shuva, Yirali Dahabe Kedushin. Sharim Nisratsu Shneim Levatel Atnai, Havimu Kodesh, Asafilim Holachim Dinos Hayom, Vishar Yosir, Budi Beis Kodesh. The Kol Maisa Shanasa B'Tnai, any action that takes place unconditioned, Vinisratsu Levatel Atnai, and there's an agreement to drop it, Vahmaisa Kayim. Vahmaisa Kayim. V'chei Mucha Perka Madir, Kitchal Tnai, V'kin Sastam, Rabba Martzvicha Menuget, Amrabai Lotei Matai Medirav, Kimi V'kin Sastam, Achuli Achal Tznoi. Whenever there's a condition, they have the ability, if they both want, both of them agree, to drop it. Okay. So, he goes on to discuss this, and maybe it's Kilu Iskabalti. And then he says, I'm going to tell you which line to go on. One second. He says as follows. Look on number 32. Line 32. Everybody have 32? The af im lo yiskayim atanai, even if he doesn't fulfill the condition, yamai sakai. Fafilu I kafle letanai, even if he, you know, dotted the I's and crossed the T's. Lahochid boy, she had tanai legamri, kitanai begon beruvet. Tanai kafel, tanai kon lemaisa, and kon malav. Tznai Maisa B'davar Echad, Shef Shalasa Sayyidei Shliach. Why? Because a Tznai is a Chiddushu. Ve'en Chabal HaChiddusha. Has to be perfect. Ve'kimin Shekeinu, Shem Maisa Hu B'fnei Atzmo. That the action and the transaction is, the core action stands on its own. Ve'roi Le'iskayim B'lokiyim HaTznai. And the Tznai is viewed as some appendage, some, you know, addition. It's not that the Tanai, that's what other people think. The Tanai redefines the Maisa. Rashi says, no. Maisa is the Maisa. The Tanai is an attachment. The Dibur bialmahu. The Asa Dibur mevatel Dibur. Umevatel Dibur shal Tanai nishra Maisa kayim. And he quotes the whole sugya. The second tshuva is much, much more extensive, much more interesting. There he goes on the different ways and possibility of distinguishing between Gittin and Kedushin. I don't want to get too bogged down there, but you'll see this on page 25 of the next page. Klal Mem Vav Simen Beis is a whole long arichos on this topic. Okay? We're not going to read it now, but it's good homework. It's good to take home and read. It's also just a fascinating tshuva. Clearly, he seems to have the Rajba, I think, or somebody like him, in his sights. And he's like, you know, going through every... It's a great model of a tshuva, of, you know, every detail and, you know, the refutation and the stakes. And then the end, he has, you know, a little humility, where he talks about, you know, how it's fine to argue about these things, but he's a posek and he feels a responsibility. And, you know... And so on and so forth. Okay. Well, look at the last entry for a minute on page 7. Look at number 2930. Rambam Hilchos Yishus Perek Zayin Halacha Chaf Gimel. Page 7 of 7. Everybody have it? This is a Rambam and Raivad that discuss same issue, but in a slightly different way. As we know, to be Mekadish in Isha and to be Megarish in Isha, you need Eidei Kiyum. You need the presence of witnesses. Right? In Dinei Mamonis, you don't really need witnesses. It's wise to have them, but if two people agree, Odos Baldin, Kemedim Dami, if the two parties in a transaction agree that the transaction took place, we believe them. Right? If they dispute, you know, if one disputes the other, that's something else. But if they both say, you know, yes, I did sell my home to Reuven for $1 million. Right? Then the transaction is chal. However, in Ishus, right, for the kedushin to be chal, for the get to be chal, you need Eidei Kiyum, even if they both agree that it happened. Okay? So now, the question is, let's say there's a kedushin al Tanai, and then they want to drop the Tanai. Do you need Eidei Kiyum to drop the Tanai? So that's the Rama and the Raivin. HaMekadish al Tanai, because there are achakam yamim ubitol al Tanai, assuming that you can, right? Apa pi shebitlo beno leveno, shelo bifnei edim, even though there was no witnesses on the bitul atzai, that they just admitted that they both agreed that we admit it. Batal atzai, the tzai is canceled. Barei mukudesh estam. V'chein amay atzai mina isha u batal oso achakach beno levino batal. It doesn't matter whether the tzai comes from him, tzai comes from her, because remember, condition is consensual. He can impose conditions, she can impose conditions, right? It makes no difference. Lefikach hamekadesh al tzai, the kine stam, that's the Gemara that we were referring to before that they're all talking about. O bal stam, varezu tzricha get, apapi shalon iskai matai, shema bitala tnai. What do you mean shema bitala tnai? Who cares shema bitala tnai? Where are the edim? If we don't know for sure, then nothing happened for sure because you need Eidei Kiyum, right? Kishe bal o kishe kines. The answer is if you don't need Eidei Kiyum, then we have to worry what's in their minds. V'chein ha-mekadish v'pachas mishav pruta, b'milva, v'chazur bal stam, v'fne edim tzricha get, Shabilo Zusamach, Palalos and Akushan Apsulim, Chazaka in Misral, Aksherim, Osa Bilos and Bilos Nus, Rebioda Atalasas Bilos Smith. Okay, fine. So what does the Ravid say? Omer Avram, Enochain, this is line 36, Enochain, Elim Kain, Kinsastam, Beedim, the Havale Kemisha Bitel Tsunao, Beedim. Right? There has to be Bitel Atanai in the presence of Edim. So what's going on here? It sounds like the Rambam is saying that Tanai is Milsach Riti. And the Raivid is saying, certainly if you formulate it properly, it becomes part of the transaction. And therefore, if you want to change that, you need Eidei Kiyum. Now, this is a big, big, massive topic. Okay, what does that have to do with us right now? Because we were talking about Onus B'Tanai. So what I'd like to say is that there are three elements to consider in Onus B'Tanai. One is the Umdana, which we talked about. It has to be a very strong Umdana, mind reading. It sounds more exotic than it is, right? What did he mean? Intention versus, you know, this is what he wrote in Akhanami. This is how they formulated the time. But what did he really mean? What did he really want? Right? That's issue number one, and we've discussed that a little bit. Issue number two is the question of the legal status of a Maisa Ba'onis. In Kol HaTorah Kula, and in Tanai, assuming that the fulfillment of a Tanai, or the Bitul of a Tanai, or the nullification of a Tanai, is a formal action, formal legal action, which might be questionable too, especially in what we, based on what we're talking about. So is an action, Ba'onis, considered to be an action, or not? Onus Rachmana Patre, Onus Kamanda Lo Ovid, right? These questions, what about a tshuva for Maisa Ba'onis? What about Yehorik Valyavor for Maisa Ba'onis? Right? And so on and so forth. But there's a third issue, and that is when it comes to conditions, do we really need Kiyum Atanai, or do we just need that there shouldn't be Bitul Atanai? In the end of the day, if the Tanai integrates into the Das Ala Maisa, right? So then, if you need Kiyumat, if you formulated that you need Kiyumatai, then you need Kiyumatanai. But if we take the view that Tanai Milsach Riti, that a Tanai always remains an attachment, it always remains an appendage stipulation, If that's what we really think, then do we really need the fulfillment of the Tanai, or do we just need to make sure that it doesn't drag down the Maisa? Which is another way of saying, we don't need to fulfill the conditions, we just need to make sure that there's no Bitala Tanai, legally and formally. Ah. In which case, maybe we have the right, when there's a Maisa Ones, what do we ask? Reish Lakish. Remember Reish Lakish? Right, what did Reish Lakish say? Reish Lakish said, Im Basi Hareza Kiddushin. Velo ba machmas ones. Nonetheless, the kiddushin is chal. The question is, how could that be? It's one thing to say that a kiyum hatnai ba ones lo shma kiyum hatnai, because formally ones is kaman the lo avid, or is not kaman da avid. But you cannot say, like says the Ra'ah and the Ritva, that a maisa shelo nasa ba ones is ki'ilu nasa. That far you can't go. You need presence, and you have accidental absence. Accidental absence is not presence, my friend. Maybe accidental absence is not absence, right? But it isn't presence either. But what if I could try to convince you that even if it's formulated as presence, we don't really need presence. What we really need to do is nullify the Tanai and make sure that it isn't Mevatel the Maisa. Just like Mechilas HaTanai, right, isn't key. The Rashba said Mechilas HaTanai is Kilu Iskabalti, right? But the other Rishonim are saying, the Rosh is saying, it's not Kilu Iskabalti, but who cares? As long as we agree that, because it always works as a bittul, it never integrates into the Kilu. Not saying everybody holds this way. Like some people hold this way. So then what we might say is that that's what's going on with Reish Lakish as well. Meaning Reish Lakish isn't based on Umdana. Maybe what Reish Lakish is saying is, you know what? When the person doesn't come, right? So our question is that Bittul Ba'ones? In Achanami, there's no Kiyum Ba'ones. But is it Bittul Ba'ones? It's not Bittul Ba'ones either. You don't need Kiyum as long as there's no Bittul. Maybe that's the key. So if you look at the Shilti Giborim and the Rabbi Avram Menahar in his Perush on the Darim Chav Zayin, that's what they seem to be saying for Reish Lakish. Not that Reish Lakish is working with an Umdana. But Reish Lakish will tell you, you know what? In Achanami, you don't have a Kiyamat, you don't need Kiyamat Tanai. What's important is, do you have Bitalat Tanai? Now, of course, once that becomes the case, you know, there are all sorts of different things you can think about, like maybe it depends how the Tanai is struck. Just like we said, for the Ravid, maybe the difference between Gittin Mekedushin Tanayim and monetary Tanayim, because Gittin Mekedushin Tanayim, the Tanai seems always like just leverage, and in Mamanis, the devil's in the details. So too, maybe it depends on the Tanai, or maybe it depends also on the timing of the Tanai. For example, in Me'achshav, I say, Ha'reyat Mekedushin Me'achshav Imlo, or in Cain. Maybe you're always just trying to bring down the mice is there, it's waiting to happen. The only question is, are you going to bring him down or not? But if I say, you know what, if you do this, then I'll marry you, and it's all in the future, maybe it's not enough to worry about whether there's Bitala tonight. Maybe then you have to worry about Kiyama tonight. Or maybe just the positive or negative formulations determine that. Right? There could be numerous things that go into figuring this out. So in a way, what happened was very fascinating. It's a very long shakha. I don't want to get into it either, because we're going to have to stop in a minute. But on page 2 here, you'll see this shakha, shemishpat, simen chaf aleph, sif katan gimel. This is a very fascinating topic, like many topics. If you could really see this, you can really see the stages of development in this topic. That you have the Gemara and you have the Yerushalmi, and they pose certain problems. Then you have the Chiddush of the Ra'ah and the Ritva, right? Then you have the Ran, who just took it in a different direction. And then you have in the Achronim, starting with the Shach just was obviously so influenced by the Ra'ah and the Ritva and the idea of formalizing all of this, that the Shach came up with the following unbelievable Chiddush. Just read that line, since we have the numbers here, it just helps us.
What page?
This is on page 2. Look what the Shach did. Va'od nearly baror. This is line 16. Everybody have it? Line 16? Va'od nearly baror. The Gami Yerushalmi Sover Kishasti Lan. There's no steer between the Babli and the Yerushalmi. Ve'inin and Dino Shalay Yerushalmi the Kankla. The Yerushalmi Myrla Hedges Shamala Makadishani Lacham and Asmachni Sechli Yomploni. Ve'in Asli Yomplon. Velo kinastik lo yaveli klum ve'ir lo ones riyam arunsa kamanda avid v'inachanami sfir lo lirid heichad adam mechayiv atzmo neged chaver bedavar shlo yachayiv al tnai ve'ir ones lezeh shachiv atzmo shlo kiyam at tnai pater ve'ir davar kamo shahayam mikedem the ones rachmana patre. I'll explain in a second. Avo misha chayiv atzmo neged chaver bedavar shlo yachayiv Amenashi Yasel Chaver is in the Omploni, the Ir Onus Chavero, Ein Amischayev Chayev Bishvil Onto Shalze, the Onus Rachmana Patre, Aminan of Onus Rachmana Chayev, Lo Aminan. What does he say? You'll see in 1 second. He basically says the distinction of the Ran, which is there's a difference between if I'm in total control and I make a condition, right, then Onus should matter. If I'm not in total control, because it's an agreement between two parties, like a man and a woman to get married, not a man and a woman to get divorced, right? Midin daraisa. So then says the Ran, for me to say, oh, but it's an ones, that won't work. Now, the Ran said because of umdina, or because you can't rely on umdina when there's somebody else involved. The Shach invoked the language of the Gemara in the Darim and of Avodah Zarah and Rashi in Ksuvis, Onas Rachmana Patre, but he came up with a new idea. Onas Rachmana Patre, the Ein Onas Rachmana Chayve. Ooh. Very similar to the Yerushalmi's, Onas Keman the Ovid, Onas Keman the Law Ovid. But that's already Machlokes. The Shach came up with a new idea. What do you mean Onas Rachmana Patre, the Ein Onas Rachmana Chayve? So the Shach says, if you look one more line, he says, this is what the Ran meant. Benirisha lezeh kivein aran. Bekidushin perka omer. Now if you read the Ran, that's not what he meant. The Ran meant you're reading his mind. He says, you read somebody's mind if it's a unilateral project, and you can't read something, even if you could read his mind, but it's not fair to read his mind when there are two people, right, who are Balei Din. The Shach said, no. The Shach, I'm guessing, with the mentality of the Ra and the Ran and the formalization of this topic, because you always want to objectify if you can, so he took the Ran's idea, but he recast it in the following way. Onas Rachmana Patre Omer Rachmana. But not Onas Rachmana Chaybe, meaning, I can be exempt from an obligation that I voluntarily accept, so I can be exempt from that because of an onus, right? But I can't impose an obligation on you because of my onus.
It's a shield and not a sword.
How do you know when somebody? Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah, we said that last week, right? You said that last week. Yeah, a shield and not a sword. So, how do you know when it's a shield? How do you know when it's under Sachmana Patre and under Sachmana Chayne? That becomes the next tricky thing, right? So the Shach says, well, whenever there are two people involved, you know, if it's me volunteering, you know, imposing something upon myself, so we always look at it as Onus Rachmana, I'm Mischayiv, and now Onus Rachmana is Patre. But if there are two people involved, there's a Chiyuv, and the issue is Onus Rachmana Patre. But if you see what happened from there historically, legally, the Ksos, the Nesivas, the Ksos and the Sefer Avnei Miluim, Mishnah LeMelech, they all start using this distinction, Onus Rachmana Patre Omer Rachmana Velo Onus Rachmana Chayve, but drawing the line in different places as to what determines whether it's Patre or Chayve. In other words, whenever the burden is on the chiyuv, But to start off with a patur and somebody, you know, accepts upon themselves, but that's a very fine line. Right? They talk about bote arichom, ones bi omachra. Let's say a person is an ones on the last day. Every other day could have come. The last day is a procrastinator. Right? The last day decides to come, the bridge falls down. Bridge was up yesterday. Bridge was up for 29 days. Right? So all of a sudden they start saying, oh, Onos Rachmana Patre Om Rachmana V'lo Rach Onos Rachmana Chayve. The other one's saying, what are you talking about? This isn't Onos Rachmana Chayve. This is Onos Rachmana until the last day. He's Pata Lagamri. This is Onos Rachmana Patre. Bote Arichoma is great. That's the part of the, you know, Bote Arichoma is this halacha. You have legacy property and you sell it, and this is Bote Arichoma. So you have a year to buy it back. There's a big debate between the Ksos and the Nesivas about Onus Biyom Achron. To explain why Onus seems like Onus Biyom Achron is Shema Onus. I'm sorry, Lo Shema Onus. So the question is, how does Bate Arichoma really work? You sold it to him on the first day, but the guy has a year, you know, to buy it back from you. Or there's no real sale until you've neglected it for a year. You know, a year's worth of neglect is what sells the property. Right? That's a pretty subtle legal issue. But that'll determine, is the onus here onus rachmana patre or is onus rachmana chayve? That's what happens in the post-gim going forward. That's how you see the... anyways, so there are three elements just to sum up. One is the question of umdana. The other is the question whether tnai integrates into das, a massive topic, but one which is very relevant here, tzai milsach riti or not. And the third is whether ones is command ovid and whether ones patre abalo chayve and how you draw the line in that issue. So next week, we have regular shiur. We'll talk about afkin rabbanu l'kiddushin mineh, very exciting topic, and daf gimel amud aleph, and a little bit the Rambam sheet about kesef midivrei soferim.